Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Today, I'm here with Mr. and Mrs. Lim and their daughter Anna and Soha. So it's around the holiday times, and although not all AAPI families celebrate Thanksgiving, we certainly do come together and see each other over the week-long break. And over this break, Anna and her parents are graciously hosting me in Fishers, Indiana. And this is my first time in Fishers, and I've never felt more at home, especially with the food and all the culture and, you know, just spending time with family. So anyways, I'm going to hand over the figurative mic to my guests and have them introduce themselves. So could you guys please introduce yourselves and we can just go around.
I'm Mrs. Lim and I'm 57 years old and an allergist immunologist in Indianapolis.
I'm Anna and I'm a junior social work student at IU.
Hi, I'm Soha, and I am a senior studying sustainability studies.
Hi, and this is Harry Lim. I'm Anna's dad, and we live here in Fishers, Indiana.
Awesome. Thank you for transporting my mic back to me. So I know Mr. and Mrs. Lim moved to the U.S. quite some time ago. Anna is born here. Soha, I think you are also from here. So maybe I would like to learn more about, you know, your experience, you know, immigrating, or like, you know, how long have you lived specifically in Fishers, or like, were you anywhere else prior to settling in Fishers at all?
So I came to the U.S. in 1994 as a pediatric resident in training, and so we've been here about almost 29 years.
Since 94.
Yes.
why did you guys end up, settling down in Fishers?
There's a series of move along the way, because as physicians in training, you know, you have to keep on moving from one program to another. Ultimately, decided to settle in this area because we found the place to be conducive to raising a family, and also for our practice. You know, it provided what we needed during the time that we decided to make the move back in 2006. We also had a friend who was a good friend who lived in the area and introduced us to this city.
Awesome. So thank you for that. And also, I guess, so that leads me kind of to my next question. When you guys had first arrived in the U.S. and for your studies, like, what was the biggest culture shock or anything that was, like, different about it? Because I know I had quite a few about, you know, the cultures and the food, so I'm just curious to hear.
Yes. I had been to the U.S. a few times as a teenager before I actually came here for residency training in 1994. But when I came in 1994, the first place where I did my residency training was in New York. And that was really a culture shock to me, like about just what people would talk about in their everyday conversations was really taboo to talk about in the Philippines. And that was the manners of speaking and just how completely straightforward and shockingly honest some people were. That was like a big culture shock to me.
To me, I had to learn the different ways of expressing yourself, behaving yourself, because it's, I think it relates to what Pia said, you know. So it's very different from where we came from. So that obviously took some learning. And the way of life itself was also very different. We grew up in a very different setting. in the United States, you have to take care of everything on your own. It's not easy to find help, whereas we came from a country where there's readily help available. Going, commuting to and from work, you know, it wasn't that simple at the start until one used to doing it. Mm-hmm. So there certainly were, you know, a lot of different things that may come as something natural nowadays, but, you know, during the first year was a bit of, yeah, take some learning to get used to, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, that was very interesting to hear. And I can totally relate to the topics of discussion. I think when I had, even though I had lived here a while ago and then I came back for college, it was very interesting to see how direct people were, which is a little different from, you know, I grew up in Thailand, so it's, you know, people kind of like walk around certain topics and they're not very direct about, you know, how they feel. So there's pros and cons to that as well. So I definitely related to your answer and about your answer about like adapting. So I guess this one's for Anna and Soha. So as people who have grown up here, and you know, Anna grew up in Fishers and you grew up in San Jose, California. So I guess my question is kind of, you know, for someone, you've lived in the United States, born here, but you do, you know, have ethnic backgrounds that are different, quote unquote, different from other people here. I guess like what the first part of my question is, how have you, when was the first time you realized that you were different than your than the majority group of, you know, people here? And the second question is, how did you, you know, how have you navigated having two or more different like cultures in and outside of your home?
Yeah, I can take that. I would say, you know, like for a while I would maybe like I was vaguely aware of the fact that the ways that I was different from my peers, maybe in appearance or just like different like family dynamics or behaviors, I don't know. But the first time I can really think of that I was like very consciously aware of that was actually, ironically, not when I was in America. It was when I was like visiting my family in the Philippines, and I remember like stepping out of the plane into the airport, and everyone around looked just like me, and I was like, wait, whoa, this is very, very, very different. You know, and then just kind of, I feel like throughout that trip and visiting my extended family in the Philippines, I did a lot of, I think, reflecting on, you know, how my life would have maybe been different if I'd been born in the Philippines, or if I'd been born not Filipino in America. But I would say that throughout my life, I've been pretty proud of and grateful for my Filipino heritage. And oftentimes I would say that it hasn't been, I guess, super difficult to like navigate the dynamic inside and outside of the home as much. I mean, there were the things like, you know, I feel like the lunchbox incident of, you know, like is pretty stereotypical in like writing about immigrant experiences and stuff, but and I did have, you know, times where people would make fun of like the food that I brought to school, but like, I mean, I was eating it, not them. So I don't know how that affected my life super like that much. I will also say that I was just generally an like oblivious child, so I think, you know, like there were times when maybe people would have been making fun of me looking back on it, but just I was like, there's no way that could be directed towards me, and I just went on with my life.
So. You were positive.
I think honestly, the most obvious examples I can think about were in college. I was pretty lucky to grow up in an area where most people are Asian, and Asian people are the majority. And obviously, like there's like weird experiences where like it's like East Asian people versus like South Asian people, kind of conflict. Mm-hmm. I don't really know a better way of putting that. But as I got to college, it became like very like obvious. Maybe for the first time in my life, I was like not among other Asian people, and like Asian people were very obviously like a minority, like in my classes and even just walking around campus, or like weird things people would come up and say to me. And then there's the second example I can think of would probably be like visiting family in India, where it wasn't because like it was because I grew up in America, and so I wasn't able to like relate to my cousins or relate, be able to like really properly communicate with my grandma, even though I was like trying really hard. She was kind of just like, what is your accent? This is, I can't understand your broken language.
I would maybe also just like add for any listeners, like I did grow up in Fishers, and for those who aren't aware, it is a really white dominated area of Indiana. I mean, most of Indiana is, to be fair, but I guess in contrast to Soha's experience, like IU is probably one, if it is almost certainly the most diverse school experience that I've had in my life. So it's been really interesting getting to hear from different people about how that wasn't exactly their experience growing up in America.
Yeah, thank you. Those were two very interesting answers. I think it was very interesting to hear, you know, you talk about, Anna talking about how she grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, and Soha talking about how she grew up in a predominantly Asian neighborhood. And that's interesting to see how you guys like realized, you know, your cultures and your heritage in contrast to others at different points in your life. Definitely very interesting. So I'm going to do a little bit of a pivot, and then we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and how people celebrate Thanksgiving, specifically, you know, Asian families and the Asian diaspora, you know, because that's the theme of our episode today. So my first question is, so many of our listeners are probably aware of like the US way of celebrating Thanksgiving, but would you guys be able to offer some information and insight the way, like, you know, for the limbs, maybe the Filipino way of celebrating, or like, you know, for Soha, the way you celebrate? So just give us some cultural background on that. And maybe you could start by, you know, describing how your family celebrates Thanksgiving, whether that be family here or family back home. So anyone can take a crack at it.
Growing up, we never really celebrated Thanksgiving in my family, except when my stepmother came into the picture, as she had a sister who lived in America. So after she celebrated Thanksgiving with her sister in America, I believe we celebrated it twice with a turkey, and we just all found it kind of like strange. We just didn't feel that it was an authentic holiday for us. The food was, you know, good, but it wasn't, we kind of felt it was a strange thing to celebrate back in the Philippines, because we were the only ones who celebrated it that I knew. So, but here, so when we came over here to Fishers, Indiana, we have a group of Filipino friends that we celebrate Thanksgiving twice. So once is just on the day of Thanksgiving, typically, and we don't have the normal turkey and fixings in general. Now, sometimes we do, but that's when we gather with our friends and they have American husbands.
I feel like we've been really fortunate to have some neighbors who, you know, are aware of the fact that like Thanksgiving is not really a holiday that we're in the tradition of celebrating, and have been, you know, always just really happy to say, you know, the more the merrier, and invite us on over to like, and include us in a lot of their like Thanksgiving plans with their families, which is something I've been grateful for. And I guess as in general, it's like, even when in the years where maybe that hasn't happened or something and we've just celebrated as a family, me and my parents, I think sometimes when my grandma was with us, like for the novelty of it, we would watch like the Thanksgiving parade on TV or like the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving episode with each other. Yeah. And, you know, just talk about, I think my mom would always lead a prayer of like what we're grateful for this year.
Right, right. We didn't reflect too much on the colonial experience that was not part of our cultural heritage, but we usually would have a second Friendsgiving with our other Filipino friends, and it would be all Filipino food this time. So,
yeah.
So that would be, that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely, I do think, you know, like, however problematic the history of Thanksgiving is, I do think it's really, there is something really great about like getting to have that time to just be with friends and stuff, and, you know, celebrate, you know, gratitude.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a very important attitude, and that keeps one real and thankful for the things that, you know, that mm-hmm. are good in one's life.
Add on to what you both already actually mm-hmm. said very well. You know, over time, you know, being in this country, I've gotten to appreciate the whole Thanksgiving day, because, you know, early on, turkey just doesn't suit me, you know. It's just not something I'd like to eat. And I cannot understand why people would have turkey when duck is better, way better than turkey. So that, in the same situation, that, you know, the tradition, you know, I think it's good to remind ourselves every year, this time of the year, you know, of all the blessings that, you know, we have, and how grateful we should be for all of those blessings, and also to share some of our blessings to those who are in need, you know. And I think we humans need to be reminded, and I think that's probably the single most important idea or point of the Thanksgiving, which we don't have in the Philippines, because I think it's built into the Christmas tradition there. Mm-hmm. But you know, in this country, it's certainly very unique, and mm-hmm. you know, I do enjoy this time of the year.
First off, Dr. Lim is absolutely right. Duck is better.
Mm-hmm. I thought you're reading. You don't even.
That doesn't mean duck isn't better. Like turkey is dry. But on the same note, usually when my family celebrates, it isn't really because of like Thanksgiving. It's honestly because that's the one of the only days in the year that everybody has the same day off, which is, you know, you can talk about the problematic part of like American work culture, that's the, you know, holidays are the only way that you can really meet your family, because it's so difficult to get days off. But, you know, that's a different conversation. Usually when my family celebrates, it isn't really like a traditional Thanksgiving. Usually we like pick like a theme of food and make like a meal like that. So like one year we had a really big like Mediterranean meal, and we got like a leg of lamb. And then one year we made like Mexican food, and we had like chicken that year. And then I think this year my parents are making Ethiopian food. So it's sort of just, there isn't really any attachment to like the holiday. And this is sort of also like a relatively recent development, because we realized that like, because some of my family moved closer to us. But when I was little, my mom would just make like nicer Indian food.
Awesome, that's so interesting. I like the theme dinners. That's,
I want to be invited.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a perfect segue for us to kind of talk more about like food, because food is a very important part of culture and obviously an important part of the Thanksgiving holidays. So I was just, can you guys maybe talk about like maybe your favorite dish? Like it could be, you know, traditional cultural food that you make during Thanksgiving, or maybe, well, now we know that, you know, no one's favorite food, Thanksgiving food, is turkey. So you can cross that off the list. Maybe anything, you know, you've made in the past that you've really enjoyed. Maybe you can elaborate on that if anyone wants to go for it.
I would say my best turkey dish that I ever had was ossobuco turkey in New Orleans. So that, I didn't make it myself. We ate out, and that was how, I said turkey isn't that bad after all. It's possible to have good turkey. And that was the best turkey I ever had.
Yeah.
But traditionally, we usually have our, you know, Friendsgiving, as I said, with Filipino food, and then we have roast pig and like,
Well, sometimes, like, I'd say, like, we even have, like, seafood and stuff. Like, I'd say, okay, for my favorite, like, traditional American Thanksgiving food, I would say just potatoes. Any kind of potatoes. Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, whatever it is. I love potatoes.
I love the pie. I think that's my favorite American Thanksgiving food is pie.
And, but I will say, as far as like Filipino foods go, I always love kare kare. That's spelled like K-A-R-E and then like K-A-R-E. And it's like a Filipino stew that's usually made with like some pork, and it's like a sort of like peanut sauce, and it's not a Thanksgiving food in the traditional sense, but it's like one of the ones that is just kind of our family or Filipino friends will make during the holiday season, and bring it out at certain times, like when we gather like for Thanksgiving. And so that is definitely something that I look forward to from year to year.
I mentioned before that like our family kind of like changes up the menu every year, so that doesn't, we don't really make the same thing, but there is one dish that we actually do make every year, and it's like layered baked sweet potatoes with like cream. My mom makes it every year just because me and my cousin really like it. It never fits the theme, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. Like Anna said, you know, potatoes are amazing. Yeah, potatoes are amazing.
I don't really have any particular attachment to the turkey, so I guess if I have to pick, you know, some of the dishes that we share and have during this time of the year, it probably would be kare kare, like Hini said, you know, mm-hmm. because we often, it seems like it's always a special Filipino dish that we make, and yeah, it's good to have. It's special when we have it.
I will say it is the kind of dish that, like, fills you up, which seems to be in the spirit of what normal American Thanksgiving is, I'm told, supposed to go. Same way it's supposed to go. So
yeah. So thank you for the descriptions of the food. That sounds very interesting. I know for me at least, my favorite American Thanksgiving dish has to be pumpkin pie, because it's very, very good. And I'm also a big fan of the potatoes. So yeah, turkey's okay. It's okay. It's whatever. So yeah, I think. So my last question. I know we already we mentioned this like a tiny bit, but I mean, you know, I think it's important to, you know, we've acknowledged that Thanksgiving is kind of based off of the history behind it is a little bit colonial, and so. I mean, I guess I kind of had a question, but about like, you know, how the attitude towards like Thanksgiving, is it more negative, more positive? I know we talked about, you know, the true meaning of Thanksgiving is giving thanks. But like, I was just like curious to know what it's like in your specific circles. Like, what is the, you know, attitude towards Thanksgiving as a whole? Because I know at least at IU, or maybe, you know, when we take courses, often like historic events will come up, and then we'll talk about the significance of it in relation to, you know, how we celebrate a certain holiday. So I just wanted to know that. Just anyone want to talk about that?
My family is honestly pretty split on the issue. Like every time, every single year without fail, the problematic history will come up, and they'll be like, you know, five or six people talking about that. And then there'll be like two or three people who have like no opinion. And then there'll be a few people who are like, oh, well, we should just stay positive, you know? So our the history is the basis for the holiday. And I understand that like now people, the way people celebrate it is, has a different meaning. But I think that sometimes celebrating like a problematic history, when like people who were sacrificed for this problematic history like are still suffering, I guess my point was just that like I think that when Indigenous people are still suffering and they were sacrificed for this problematic history, I think that if that's like not acknowledged at the very bare minimum, I think that's just not cool, not okay.
Right. I do feel like, I mean, celebrating our own kind of cultural and ethnic heritage is like almost one way, like, that we, whether intentionally or not, I don't know that we ever did this as a, or at least as a family, that we ever talked about. I feel like just in general, like we like having the excuse to like get together with our other Filipino friends. But I think it can definitely be considered, like the fact that we're celebrating that heritage and eating the normal traditional foods is like one way of like kind of resisting colonial forces on what is a very, you know, like colonial American holiday. I mean, I will say, for he's not here, but my partner says that one way that he kind of grapples with the history of the holiday himself is that he will, you know, take some time on the day of Thanksgiving and do, like, you know, research and read up on different, like, Indigenous people's like issues and organizations, and like find one to support, you know, with a donation or something. I don't know. I think definitely celebrating kind of your own heritage, it's like, can be an act of resistance.
I agree. I was just saying.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Did either of you want to add?
I think that's well said.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that was very well said. I think thinking about it, that, you know, the way that you articulated is very important. And, you know, it's a very, I mean, it's a basic step and a small step, but it's very powerful in its own way when you know how to, you know, kind of subvert the expectations of, you know, what do you do on Thanksgiving. So on that note, I will be wrapping up this interview. So thank you to my guests, and thank you also for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB Community Radio and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Please stay tuned for our next episode. This was Belle and our lovely, lovely guest speakers, The Limbs, plus Soha, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.